So the epistle for the third Sunday in Advent is taken from Philippians chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there has stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Please be seated. Rejoice in the Lord always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This time period of Advent is a time of preparation. Time of preparation, then also a time of penance. And that is why normally, traditionally, we have always the purple vestments signifying a penitential spirit. Today it's loosened some, this penitential spirit, because it is Gaudete Sunday. And so that is why then we have the rose vestments. Because from that, we have obviously, as I mentioned, a time of preparation and penance, but one of also joy. You know, for us, the need of penance is very clear, whether for our own soul. We see, obviously, that we have to try to do penance to make up for our past sins, to try to help to keep us on the right path. But then also, it is something for us to realize that is why then our Lord came into this world, to take away sin. It was the purpose of why our Lord entered into this world at Christmas time. He was here to take away sin. And so therefore, for all of us, we are meant to then accept our Lord, to receive our Lord into our soul. But that reception is not automatic for us. We see in the last gospel, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And so it's something as a reminder to us that even though we know that our Lord is the Messiah, we still have to try to receive him into our soul based upon our spiritual life, based upon how we live our life. And so therefore, yes, it is not something that is automatic for us. It is something that we must try to strive and to work toward. And that is why the prophet Isaiah said that we must prepare the ways of the Lord. And also when we see the example of St. John the Baptist, that was the whole message that he had, was this continuation, this preparation for the souls, for them to receive our Lord Jesus Christ as the true Messiah, as the Savior of mankind. And so that is what he spent his time doing as the precursor. And so we've seen in these past Sundays the example of St. John the Baptist. And even in today's gospel, you see them asking him, "Who are you? You know, are you the Messiah?" Because they were fooled in a way because of the holiness of life, because he was preaching the truth and baptizing, that they thought he might be then this Messiah. But St. John tells them, "No, I'm not. There is one that is amongst you that you know not." Meaning that for the people, they did not receive our Lord. They did not accept our Lord. And so that is what we also have to try to understand in this time period. As we prepare our soul for that, that we have to accept our Lord. And so that follows in how we live our lives. And so this season of Advent, yes, it is permeated with joy, a true joy. Because the darkness of the world will be dispelled. I mean, that is something that we, as we prepare in this time period, we continually see. Of how our Lord will come into the darkness of the night, dispel the darkness and bring this light to the world. That he is this true light of the world. And so from that, as our Lord comes into that, the grip of sin over our flesh is then also broken. He separates that for all of us so that we can live a life that is pleasing to God. And so that is why then we have this sense of joy at this time period. I mean, the church gives us that idea, both in the time period of Advent and in the time period of Lent. Gaudete Sunday in Advent, Laetare Sunday in Lent. It is a reminder to us for what we are preparing for, or what we are doing in this time period. Yes, we have the penitential spirit. We are doing penances, we are offering things to God, giving up things. And so then the church gives us this understanding of now we have the time to rejoice because the Lord is nigh. The Lord is coming. Our Lord is coming into this world, coming into our souls, and so therefore we have something, we have a cause to celebrate, to rejoice. Granted, it is still 10 days away, the Feast of Christmas. So a week and a half still we have to try to prepare ourselves. But you see in the epistle of how it is this double call for rejoicing. And that's what separates us from the world. For the world's rejoicing, it is a time period of just parting. Or where they lose the sense of what we are prepared for. And that's the only way that the world knows. But it's interesting to see how St. Paul immediately after that says, "Let your modesty be known to all men." As if St. Paul realizes the pagans of the time that he was speaking to, for them to understand and to realize it is not meant just to party and to give in to ourselves. It is a rejoicing in the fact that our Lord came to separate us from sin, to separate us and to help us to break that grip that sin has over our souls. And so certainly our Lord would not be encouraging us to just to satisfy oneself and one's passions. That is not the joy that he is meaning. That is not the fact of rejoicing that our Lord is saying to us. But as I say, for the world, that is the only way that they know. But to understand St. Paul in his epistle to the Galatians, he mentions and talks about the different fruits of the Holy Ghost. And one is joy. And that being a fruit of the Holy Ghost, it is part of our sanctification. That there cannot be a true spiritual life which is not filled with the joy of serving God. And granted, sometimes that will also mean that we will have to suffer for our Lord. But there has to be the understanding of that we realize that this is part of then also our sanctification. You see that in the life of St. Lawrence, one of the first deacons of the Catholic Church, to where when they were roasting him on, basically kind of an oven type thing, but here you have St. Lawrence that tells them, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." And so even amongst the suffering that he had, it was a grace that was given to him by God. There was still this understanding that this is the means for me to get to heaven, to be happy for all eternity. And so as we say that joy is a fruit of sanctification, that this joy will also, yes, be mixed with sometimes having the sufferings, the crosses, but realizing that there's a purpose behind them, that they will help us then ultimately to get to heaven. And so from that joy, this fruit of sanctification will give rise to our soul being in peace. And so you have to see then the peace gives to us order. And that peace comes from Almighty God. It is one of the things that St. Ignatius says during the Ignatian retreats, that peace comes to us from God. Disorder, chaos, that will come obviously from the devil. And so that peace is not the false peace of the world, but it is one that stems from a true order for us. A true order that we have. And so our joy must be in the things of God. That is where our joy truly lies. And so that is where then we have to try to understand the sanctification of the soul and the joy that comes from that. And so that's why St. Paul, he says what he says in trying to help them to understand. So it's something that obviously at that time there was misunderstandings, they're not sure. And truly at our own times too. But I think it's unfortunate that sometimes we think that sanctification or sanctity is something we can turn on and off. It's like, okay, I'm going to Mass, I'll turn it on. And then we turn it off because we want to just enjoy the rest of the week and do the things of the world, follow the ways of the world, and then, okay, Sunday comes again and we turn it back on. We have to realize that sanctification, the sanctity of the soul, is something that will be all week. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that we must work at our sanctification. It is a process for all of us. It is a part of our spiritual life. But too often we are so concerned with the world around us and the things around us and get caught up in these things that we lose the true sense of what sanctity means. It's almost like, okay, we snap our fingers and we're holy. And then we leave and we go back and then we're quote-unquote normal to the world. I mean, that is not a normalcy that God sees. I mean, for us, we have to understand that sanctity is something that we must work at every day of our life. And we must realize at times we have to cut ourselves off from some of the things of the world. The dangers of the world. Because that will not produce in us this fruit of sanctification. And so that's where we have to then understand what God grants to us, what God gives to us, and what God helps us with. And so truly when you understand and see that when our Lord came into this world, it was meant to break us from the bonds of sin. In breaking us from those bonds of sins, at least gave us the chance for heaven. But then it becomes up to us whether we accept that invitation from our Lord. Because it is not an automatic salvation for any of us. That is why St. Paul said we must work at our salvation in fear and trembling. We must work that out. And so that is, in a sense, when we look at this joy that we preach about today, we see in the liturgy, we see in the Mass. It is, yes, to remind us that our Lord is coming and He's coming quickly. The Lord is nigh. That is what we've been preparing for so far. That is what we're working toward. And that should be then, in a sense, the fruit of the penances, the sacrifices that we've taken on during this Advent time period. To sanctify the soul. And so that is where we must try to work out our salvation. That yes, the Lord is nigh, He is coming, but the presence of God should be within all of our souls. And through the presence of God in our souls, through sanctifying grace, that is the root of our sanctity. And from that is what will bring us to beatitude, our true happiness for all eternity. And so that is the process that God gives to us to help us to understand. Our happiness lies in heaven for all eternity. And so when the church gives us to understand, to rejoice, it is, yes, because the Lord is nigh. Our Lord is coming in a week and a half. And so now we have a week and a half to truly prepare our soul for the reception of Almighty God. But again, that reception is not something that is automatic for us. We must work toward that. And working toward that means to work toward our sanctity. And working toward our sanctity means that it's something that we must try to do each day of our life. It's not a light switch that we turn on and off. It is something that must remain on for us. And the light will become brighter the more that we try to live in the graces of God, the more that we try to do for the sanctity of our soul. And so these are the things that we must pray about these last 10 days. They are the things that we must try to consider for the state of our soul these last 10 days. Will we even receive our Lord or not? That's the first question that we must pose to ourselves. You know, are we in the state of grace or not? And if not, then we need to do something about that in these last 10 days. But then if we are, thanks be to God that we are in the state of grace, to try to remain in that, but then also to try to see what we need to try to do to increase the sanctity of our soul, so that we can gain that true happiness at the end of our life. So let us have recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary to ask her to fill our hearts and our souls with this true Catholic joy that we find in today's Mass. I rejoice in the fact that our Lord is nigh, and that is what we are preparing for, that is what we're anticipating with His coming. So truly let us rejoice because our Lord is coming to us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.